I just want to talk, a minute about what is going on. You know, we're going through a transition, okay? We transitioned from Elmendorf to here, you know? Steve came and everything. God is transitioning, and you have to understand there was a transition made, all right? And you got to transition with it. And a lot of times when these things happen, people get stuck, they get stagnated, and sometimes you get very confused. This is the way God is. God is always moving. See, we're the only ones that stand still. We're the only ones that stand still. God is always moving, calling us up higher and higher. Amen? So now is the time for you to manifest everything that was poured inside of you. Are you going to make mistakes? Of course you are. Yes, you are. But be willing to get egg on your face. It is your time. It is your time. And you have to see that this is my time. This is my time to grow up. This is my time to move into things that God has for us in this ministry, each and every one of us. All right? So, you know, it's a little bit quiet. Ain't nobody here. You know, when Vaughn's gone, you know, it's like every church when the pastor's gone, the cats away, the mice play. All right? No different. But I just want you to understand, don't get nervous about what's going on. Because now it's our turn to go out there and to get the people. This ministry was built up to the place where you had to release. All right? So the release has happened. Now the responsibility falls on us. Now all that about my church, all them prayers, all that praise and all that, now you got the rubber's meeting the road. Now you got to put action to what was coming out of your mouth. And that's what it's all about. But we have to understand we have each other. All right? We have each other to lean on, each other to talk to, each other to come to. You have a great pastoral team, my brother Josh and Lane. I love them. You know, we can always talk. You have a great, and Chris and Carrie now, the new kids on the block. All right? But God is raising up new leaders because that's the only way it works. That's the only way ministry works. And if people that are growing move out of the way so that others could come up and grow and flourish into their giftings, into their callings, into everything else. All of you have a gift and all of you have a calling, all right? But that's up to you to go to God and ask God, Lord, what is it that is inside of me that you have placed inside of me? Lord, where does it fit within this ministry? We all know the mission of the ministry. You all know that what we have to do. Now it's your turn to find your place. All right, you had 7 months of training. It's like going to school. Now the test comes. All right, and one thing about a test, the teacher's always silent. All right, when test time comes, the teacher be talking. No, why? Because the teacher been talking all them months, preparing you for the test. All right, so now we gonna see what you know. Now you're going to see what you know and what you really don't know. And what you don't know, don't get embarrassed about it and don't back up. Say, listen, I need a little more help in this area. Josh, can you talk to me? Lane, can you talk to me? Carrie, can you talk to me? Kim, can you talk to me? Chris, can you talk to me? This is what this is all about. This is about growing into ministry. You grow ministries. Jesus said, go make disciples. We're in the disciple-making business. But you have to want to have a desire to be made into a disciple of Christ. That's what it's all about. All right? In the praise and worship, it was to me, I don't know. See, God, like I said, it could be Alvin and the Chipmunks. I'm going to get mine. Okay? It don't matter to me. I come seeking Jesus, whoever it is. But I'm saying don't look for what was before. Look for what God has for you now. Because he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what you could do to help. All right? Don't criticize. Help. Where can I play a part? In helping and everything I could do, like Chris said, in the church. We are all servants, all right? And thank God. I'm excited about it. I really am. Because me and the pastors, we had a meeting Thursday night, and just the things that we were talking about, we're just very excited about what God is doing, and you should be too. Amen? Be excited about what God is doing. Be excited that you have been chosen to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have an important part to play in God's kingdom. Amen? God's looking for you to step up to the plate. God's looking for you to step up and become young, powerful men and women of God for this time. For this time. Because we got a lot of issues that we have to deal with, even in the church. All right? But we're going to deal with them, and we're going to deal with them in love. All right? Galatians 6:1 says that if your brother is overtaken in trespasses, you who are spiritual, we do what? We restore him in love. All right? Lest you get all puffed up and you think nothing can happen to you. See, that's the sad misnomer. Don't ever think that it can't happen to you. That's why you need to stay on your knees and stay in this book and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart in each and everything. Are we still doing the webcam thing, too? Yeah. Oh, say hi to everybody on the webcam. Praise God. Kiana might be watching. Hi, Kiana. Amen. So I just thank and praise God for another night and another opportunity to speak into your lives. I just, like I said, I never take it for granted, you know, and I'm always thanking God for each and every opportunity that he gives me. I was wrestling with a couple things that God has given me. One was about the body concept, which I'll do another time. The other one was about what are you willing to sacrifice, all right? But last night, I took a Bible that I, it's like a little small Bible, I was traveling, and all of a sudden it just opened up, and everything that was going on, and there was the message that I preached a while ago that was up in there, and God did some miraculous things last night that just lets me know that you're in the right place. When you're seeking God, okay, God will always affirm or confirm his word to you that you are in the right place. You are on the right path. Keep going, all right? Even when all hell is breaking loose around you, because the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, so we have to keep walking, even in the midst of the hard times, even in the midst of the storms, even in the midst of confusion, all right? Because sometimes in Christ, you're going to be confused, whether you like it or whether you don't. That's the reality of being a child of God. But even in the midst of confusion, God is still in there, and he's going to bring you up. Let us turn to, it's going to come from John 4, a very familiar scripture to a lot of people, all right? You know, it talks. This is about the woman at the well, okay? John 4, where Jesus met the woman at the well. And just to give you a little background and, you know, a little thing that, you know, she was a Samaritan woman, all right? And anybody that knows anything about Jewish history, the Samaritans and the Jews, they really didn't like each other, all right? The Samaritans were Jews, but because they intermarried with the Gentiles, the other folks had a problem. And anybody got an interracial marriage or something like that, you're going to know you're going to have some problems with other folks, all right? But you ain't going to have a problem with God. So this woman had an encounter with Jesus. Now, for her, it was just an everyday thing. She was going to the well to get water, you know, going to the well just to get water. But one thing you have to understand is the time that she went, all right, at 12 o'clock, nobody goes because it's too hot then. But because of her lifestyle, she had issues with everybody else in the city, all right? So she went at a time where she wasn't going to be confronted by anybody about anything that was going on. But just like us, in your Christian life, you can expect for Jesus to show up in your life. You can expect for Christ to show up in your life. And a lot of times it's going to be when you're just doing your everyday normal things when Jesus is going to show up in your life. And I just want to talk about the evidence, because we talked about this lady. You know, you've heard it preached many times that how Jesus saved this lady and transformed her life and all that. But I want to talk about the evidence, okay, because this is more for us than it is about, you know, it's about her too. But the evidence of a converted life in Christ. That's what I want to talk about, because in this story, all right, Jesus, the well in Samaria was on his itinerary, okay? Itinerary preacher. Samaria was 42 miles north of Jerusalem. Remember I said Jesus has a keep it moving ministry? All right, you got people who don't want to walk around the corner. Jesus walked, all right? 42 miles was on his itinerary just to save this one lady. But in this story, one of the things that stuck out to me was the conversation that God allows us to see that this woman had with Christ, all right? Where I want to pick up, all right? I want to pick up in chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 9. It said, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you being a Jew, because Jesus had already asked him for some water, all right? How you being a Jew ask a drink of a Samaritan woman, for Jews and Samaritans have no dealings. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God that who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. See, sometimes we don't understand the gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ. It's an unexpressible gift. That's what Paul said, this indescribable gift. It's indescribable, all right? Her and Jesus is having a conversation. Verse 11, then the woman said to him, you have nothing to draw from the well, for it is deep, and where do you get this living water? And are you then greater? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well to drink from himself, and as well his sons and his livestock? And Jesus said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. When we take a drink of what Jesus has for us. See, she was going for something that's natural, water, something in the Middle East that you need, all right? But because of her condition, all right, God knows exactly what we need. He knows that we need that everlasting water, that thing that will quench every thirst. Because even though she was going for the natural stuff, Jesus wanted to make sure she got the thing that would never stop. John 7 and 38 says that he that believes on me, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. If you believe on him, as the scripture says. Let us move on a little bit. Then a woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. She's getting the concept, all right? See, when you get the concept about God, she said, give me this water, so now I ain't got to come back here no more because I got to keep coming. All right? And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands. All right? And the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you truly speak. See, when you're in conversation with the Lord, God is going to read your mail. God is going to read your mail. Because now she's standing in the presence of the king. We are just talking about the king of kings, who is to come, right? Who is and was and is to come. And that's one thing. Psalm 16:11 says that you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. Amen? But also in the presence of God, God is going to speak into your situation and into your circumstance. Why? Because it's about you being drawn into the kingdom. So Jesus was just making it known to her everything that he knew about her life. And when you're in the presence of God, when you're reading his word, when you're praying in your silent time, in your quiet time, God is going to explain everything that's going on and in your life, whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it be indifferent. Why? Because he wants to make a change in your life. We sang that song, From the Inside Out. And that's what it is, because it says about to be converted means to turn from one's belief or a party to another, to change one who has undergone a conversion. Amen? This woman is getting ready to undergo a conversion with Jesus Christ. Now, and the woman said to him, verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, and our fathers worship on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship, all right? But Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming where you are neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such who will worship him. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. See, when your soul and your heart is truly converted to the Lord, it doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter anymore. Music doesn't matter anymore. The place doesn't matter anymore. It's no longer about the church because, see, my house becomes a place of worship. My car becomes a place of worship. Why? Because my life has been converted of Christ, and the evidence of that I'm going to worship God no matter what. Yeah, they won't let you pray in school, but that don't mean you can't talk in tongues under your breath. They can't hear you. See, a true worshiper is going to do exactly what God is asking him to do. Why? Because I got the evidence, all right? When you think about evidence, Webster says it's an outward sign, a proof, or a testimony. It's either a fact or a clue. How many facts or how many clues can people see in your life that your life has been converted to Christ? How many facts? How many truths? What proof did you have that your life has been converted to Christ? Now, listen at verse 25. And the woman said to him, that I know that the Messiah is coming, who is the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Verse 27. And at this point, his disciples came and marveled that he talked with a woman. And yet no one said to him, what do you seek? Why are you talking to her? And the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men. All right? Now understand, at this point, Jesus had already said to her, listen, you have five husbands, all right? And the one you're living with, all right, he ain't your husband. He surely ain't your husband. All right? So five and one is six, all right? Seven is the number of completion. Her life was just beginning completed because she just ran into man number seven. But see, man number seven didn't want what everybody else wanted. He wanted her soul. He wanted her heart. Why? Because this woman had been searching and searching and searching. And this woman was a church girl because she says, we worship up here. You all Jews worship down there. See, it's no different from us in the church if our hearts are not truly converted to the Lord. If our hearts are not truly converted to his way, to his will, and to his word, we will be doing the same thing. We'll be coming to hear worship. We're going to hear the word, but yet we're going to be seeking in other things. And that's what she kept on doing. She kept on seeking love in the wrong places, only to get turned away again and have to go again. But now that living water has touched her soul, now that she's in the presence of the King, see, because once you get in the presence of God and he has transformed your life, the very thing that you came looking for, you're going to leave behind, because that's what she did. It said that she left her water pot and went into the city. Now, most women, when they meet the man, okay, the first person they go is called girlfriend or called mama, all right? But if you notice in this, it said that she went. All right, in verse 28, that the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, the very thing that used to trap her off, she went to them first. That's when you know that your life has been converted in Christ, because the very thing that used to keep you down is the very thing that you're going to step to. That's what happened. She went right into the city, all right, and went to the very thing. Now, I'm sure the fellas, because I know how the fellas game is. I used to play the game. All right? That, look, guys, here comes our girl. All right? Here come your girl. But now she got a different walk. She got a different talk. She got a different swag, as they say, or whatever. All right? There was something totally different about this woman, because the scripture says that the woman left her water pot and she said, come see a man who told me all things I have ever did. Could this be the Christ? Why? Jesus told her everything she ever did, but he told her with love, grace, and mercy, which allowed her to be drawn to him. Jeremiah says that I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drew you to myself. Loving kindness, Jesus drew this woman to himself. Into the point that her life was so converted that she went out and got the very people that used to trap her off and said, come on, come and see. And that's what we have to do, King's Fire. That's what you have to do. You have to go out there to them same people, to them same pack that you used to run with, to them same ones you used to do the things you shouldn't be doing with, and say, now, come and see. Come and see what I got, or come and see where I got the fire that I got. Come and see the joy that I have. Because when your life is converted, you can't help but to go tell somebody else about the Lord. Verse 30 says, and they came out of the city and came to him. God has dropped a great assignment on this church. And it's time for us to go into the city that they may come out and see him. But the only way it's going to happen is if people see the evidence of the conversion of Christ in your life. Not just playing church, not just coming here out of a sense of duty, or not just coming here because it's Friday night, it's Saturday night, or you've been programmed into that. I come here because I love the Lord. You are my everything, and I will adore you. It's out of adoration, it's out of love, and it's out of respect for God that you do the things that you do. But people have to see evidence. What is the proof that's in your life? What proof do I got to show the world? Jesus said that he told them to go into Jerusalem and wait. A lot of times we want to do things in ministry, but you ain't ready to do them. Why? Because you haven't wait to be endued from power on high. And then he said that you will go into Jerusalem, into Samaria. See, when Jesus sent his disciples, the first thing he told them was, listen, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Why? Because he knew about the prejudice, he knew about the bigotry, he knew about everything that was going on in Samaria. Because if you look in Luke 9, where it talks of when Jesus sent his disciples ahead, he sent them into Samaria, and they would not receive Jesus. All right? But the disciples, because they wouldn't receive Jesus, James and John, the son of Bonagard, said, shall we call down fire from heaven, all right, and nuke them? All right? These boys walked in power, and Jesus knew it. See, Peter, James, and John, they weren't the closest with you. Jesus had to keep their boys on a short chain. Uh-huh. You're going to stay right here close to me, because if I let you off the chain, anything could happen. But he said to them, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the attitude that we have to have, that we have to seek and save that which was lost. Because it was after Jesus transformed this woman's life that woman went and transformed her city, that now the disciples can go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then all of it. Why? Because Jesus done took down all the barriers. Jesus done broke down all the stuff that keeps us separated. We are one in the body of Christ. It's not a black church. It's not a white church. It ain't a Baptist thing. All right? And we are not the body of Baptists, the body of Catholics, the body of this, body of that. We're the body of Christ. And we need each other. And we have to understand that the only way that this is going to work for us, if we show evidence of a life that is converted in Christ. Because it's in Christ, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It is Christ the solid rock I stand, or on the ground is sinking sand. But it only happens when our lives are truly converted to the Lord. And only he can do it. But you have to have that encounter with him. There is nobody in the Bible whoever had an encounter with Jesus Christ and their life stayed the same. This woman, her life never stayed the same. The woman caught in adultery, her life was never the same. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years in the same condition, his life was never the same. And that's what you have to seek for. If you haven't had that encounter with Jesus Christ, that's what you need to seek for. That's what you need to start praying for. Why? Because we can't do that for you. See, I had my encounter with Christ. I ran for 2.5 years from ministry. I knew I was supposed to preach. 1998, I knew I was supposed to preach. And God kept on sending people. You going to preach? No, I ain't. You going to preach? No, I ain't. I was a deacon at the time of church. I said, anything I could do, I'll do right from that deacon's bed. I'm going to preach. You going to preach? The year 2000, Full Gospel Fellowship in New Orleans. This guy was preaching about betrayal. He's talking about the betrayal of Joseph, talking about betrayal of Samson, talking about the betrayal of Jesus. And this was an arena with like 25,000 people. And I was sitting like in the third row. And before that guy got done, I dove in front of that altar like this. And that was the end. That's when I had my encounter at that altar with Jesus Christ. And from that day, my life has never been the same. But it's until you have that encounter with Christ that your life is never going to change. You can go through all the formulas. You can go through all the songs. You can go through the word. You can go through all that. But until you have that encounter with him, the conversion is not going to come. The evidence is not going to be in your life. Why? Because it's going to show. Because Jesus said you will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. What type of fruit am I bearing in my life each and every day? What is going on in my private life each and every day when nobody else can see you? Because your public life is only an extension of your private life. But when your heart has been converted to God, both of them line up the same. Both of them line up the same. And that's what Jesus was talking to this woman about, yeah, you going to church. Yeah, you talking about worshiping. Yeah, you doing about that. But your lifestyle is out of order. Why? Because you don't have that living water. Church, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse for us. We are 2,000 years removed from what this scripture is saying. But God is saying, listen, evidence of a life that is converted. What are the facts? What are the clues? See, somebody in your life should see some sign or see some proof of your life. Somebody should. I was coming up the thruway, like I was saying, God did a miraculous thing last night because I was coming up the thruway from the plant, and I was driving up, and my cell phone went off, all right? So I took it out of my pocket and put it on speaker, and I sat it down. And I hear this girl screaming in the background, all right? And I'm screaming, hello, hello? And all she's doing is screaming in the background. I hear two other people talking to her, and I don't know what's going on because all I'm saying is hello, 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 hello. So I just hung it up. And I got home, and then my wife told me somebody that we know has been calling. So 11 o'clock at night, my doorbell rings, which is very unusual. 11 o'clock at night, my doorbell rings, and I open the door, and this girl says to me, listen, she said, you got to help me. She said, my sister's in, I just got my sister. She's 17 years old, drunk as a skunk, wants to kill herself and everything else. So I said, okay, I'll help you. I said, all right. But as she's walking off the porch, okay, this is what solidified this message for me. That she says, because I know you walk in a little power. And I had to chuckle. I had to chuckle at that point. I said, oh, a little power I walk in? But I went out to the car, and she's still whining and crying. Now, she must have been crying for a half hour, because I've been home a half an hour. So she's still going on and on and on and on and on. So they let me get in the backseat of the car. I was talking to her about a relationship and everything else, and you know what I mean, all the stuff that was going on in her life. To make a long story short, I said, okay, let's stop this. I said, give me your hand. I said, let's pray. And when I prayed for that girl, I prayed for her salvation. That God would just touch your heart, and God would just move in her life, and God would just do something through the midst of the alcohol, through all the pain and everything else that she was going through. And immediately when I got finished, she stopped crying. She just stopped crying right there. And then I can have a decent conversation with her about who she is, what God created you to be. Same way Jesus did. All right? That's all Jesus did with this woman. He let her know who she really was. He let her know how much value that she had, more than what the world was placing on her, more than what her family was placing on her, more than what men, society, or anything else was placing on you. And that's what you have to understand. Get your value from Christ, not from the world, because our world is finicky. They love you one day and hate you the next. Look at Jesus. It was Hosanna on Monday and Mr. T on Friday. All right? Yeah, that's right. We love you. Now we're going to crucify you. It is no different. Hero today, goat tomorrow. All right? Because that's the world that we live in. And sometimes if you allow yourself, your feelings will do the same thing to you. Don't live your life by feelings. Because feelings are fickle. All right? And a lot of times you're feeling stuff that don't line up with the word. But like I said, when your life is evidence and your life is proof, people are going to come knock on your door. They're going to come knock on your door. Why? Because they know that your life is converted. Every day of your life, the way that you walk. Every day of the life that you talk. All right? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. So sometimes when something comes out of your mouth, don't say, where did that come from? Because it's in there. It's like Prego. It's in there. And if it's in there, when the right situation comes up, it's going to come out. And that's all the enemy wants. He wants to steal your witness. He wants to steal your witness from Christ. But when your life has been truly converted, he cannot steal it. Why? Because you know he's coming anyway. He know he's coming anyway. And that's what we have to take from these messages and see from this. Because the evidence of a converted life is a person turning to God. Conversion is the experience of an individual who encounters God's reality or purpose and responds in personal faith and commitment. So the evidence is going to be of our converted lives. Are we going to respond to what we're going through now with commitment? Are we going to respond to this change with the same zest and zeal we had when this house was full up and everything was going the way it was going? Are you still going to have the same zest and zeal for God? And if your life and your heart has truly been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, this thing shouldn't stop 1 minute. What it should do is just intensify us to go even further. Intensify us to go out more and evangelize. Intensify us to pray more, to show up at these prayer meetings. Intensify us to read more. Intensify us to get in service. All right? I challenged the River of Life Ministry because they were with me 3.5 years. Jesus was only on this earth 3.5 years. If you've been in church for 3.5 years, you should be a disciple. You could be a disciple quicker than you can get your bachelor's degree. Because that takes 4 years. All right? So in the midst of whatever you're doing, all right, you become a disciple and get your bachelor's. All right? At the same time. So I challenged them about that they should be in ministry, and I just heard today, or yesterday, praise God, that Tatiana and Rakita are going to start helping out in the nursery. All right? Why? Because they've been trained. They know what to do. And I got confidence in them that they're going to do the right thing. And that's what it's all about, that we train up these young people. All right? The Bible says apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, all right, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. All right? Let's do that again. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Okay? Ministry is work. All right? And ministry costs. Salvation is free, but ministry costs. That's why everybody needs to be paying their tithes and doing everything. Because if your life is converted to Christ, it's not an issue. It's never an issue. All right? It's never an issue with me. I know when I get money, I know what I got to do. You know, it's never an issue. Why? Because evidence that your life has been converted to Christ. What you do in the kingdom is the evidence of your conversion. All right? Not just that I'm saved. All right? We all know that the Bible says that it's God's desire that no man perish, that all should come to repentance and be saved. But there's more than just the saving grace of God. It's the empowerment, all right, that we see in the scripture of this converted heart. God empowered this woman to go forth into a city and to attack that giant and take it down and bring them out, that they got converted. The same people, like I said, that used to keep her down are the same people that she was able to minister to and bring them to Christ. Is it going to be a challenge? Yes, it is. But I know each and every one of you are up to the challenge. Just think about your life in the context of this scripture. Her issue was a man thing. It could be anything. We ain't got to go through the list, you know, like we always do. We ain't got to go through the list. But you know where you're being challenged, okay? And that's the very area that you need the living water to take over. That's the place where you need another drink. That's the place I need to be refreshed. That's the place I need to be renewed. God, in that very area right there. And you can take this and go home and pray before the Lord. Say, God, if you did it for that woman, do it for me. Do it for me, God. But see, we don't put enough pressure on God to receive what God has for us. And that's all he wants us to do. Put the pressure on him. You know I'm struggling with this. It's not like he don't know. He's God. He knows everything. All right? It's not like he do not know. He doesn't know what your struggle is. But he's just waiting for you to get into his presence, waiting for you to recognize that he is Messiah, that he is King. He is Deliverer. He is Healer. He is Lord. That's why he told Moses. Moses said, what am I going to tell them? Who sent me? He said, you tell him I am what I am. Whatever you need him to be, that's what I'm going to be. I am whatever you need. If you need a miracle, I'll be that. What an awesome God we serve. Right? What an awesome God that we serve, that he would even say, I am. Come on now, that's right. I am whatever you need, because see what happens is you think that God only wants to do it for the preachers. You think God only wants to do it for the big guys. No, God wants to do it for you too. He wants to do it more for the little people than he does for us. Because the reality of it is, the same power that's in the pulpit should be right there in them pews. If we're doing it right, the way we're supposed to be, you should have just as much power as I have. Just as much zest, just as much zeal. Why? Because God's no respecter of person. What he does for one, he does for all. He's an all-inclusive God. He ain't going to leave you out. Then he'd be a partial God. He'd be a God of favorites. God ain't got no favorites, except for Jesus. But if you want to argue with him about that, that's your business. I'm cool with it. But God ain't got no favorites, and that's what we have to understand, church, that when your life has been converted, take a stand. Take a stand for Christ. That's what this woman did. She took a stand. I don't know what you're battling with today. I don't know what your struggle is today. But I do know one thing, that the same God that transformed my life is willing to transform your life. But there has to be a willingness on your part. There has to be a willingness to be transparent. There has to be willingness to say, God, I can't deal with this no more. I know when my change comes, my deliverance came when I just cried. I said, I can't take this no more. I just can't take it. Because when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when the change is going to come in your life. That's the only time the change is going to. I mean, you could call up, cry to girlfriend, boyfriend all night long. Ain't nothing going to happen. Until you get tired of going through that same situation, you get tired of people stepping on your life, you get tired of getting your little heart broke one more time. Okay? When you get tired of all that, that's when the change is going to come. But once you step into the presence of the Lord and he changes your life, let the proof come through. Jesus said, you will be witness to me unto this world. Doesn't matter where I go, everybody knows my life. Everybody knows my life. All preachers ain't open like I am. And I know thousands of them. All right? I know thousands of them. Just like Steve said, they won't respect you. Yes, they will respect you. See? Because if I can't tell you about my weaknesses and my shortcomings and what God could do for me, then you don't see no hope for it in your life. You will never see a hope if I don't open up and tell you, all right, that the things that go on in my life. Because that's what it's all about. And that's the only way that your life is going to be converted. That's the only way that you're going to know that the same Jesus that touched this woman is the same Jesus that wants to touch my life. With all my issues, with everything that I got going on in my life, with all the struggles that I got going on in my life, guess what? He wants to come right next to you, show up with you, talk with you, conversate with you, and say, okay, now, this is what you need. Because, see, she thought she just needed that water. Jesus said, no, you need the living water. All-inclusive God. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16 that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here she is standing in the presence of the living God. And that's what our hearts have to be. That's what our hearts have to be desired. God, I want to see your face. We sing that song, show me your face, Lord. And that's what you got to do for real. God, show me your face. Because when God sees your hunger like that, he'll show up in your bedroom if he has to. God will show up anywhere in your life that you're crying, anywhere in your life that you're hurting, anywhere in your life that you can't make it, only to make you a world winner just for the kingdom. You might not see yourself as that. You might not see yourself as somebody that could change somebody else's life. You might not see yourself as somebody that can make a difference in somebody else's life. Jesus wanted them one at a time. You, come on, follow me. You, come on, follow me. One at a time. One at a time. Because, see, we think that if I'm not doing it and 10,000 people come, then I'm not doing anything for Christ. See, me as a preacher, I don't care if there's one person in the house. No matter me, I'm preaching to you. I go up into jail and there's only one person sometimes. It don't mean nothing. Because that soul that showed up is the one that needs to be saved. Because it was only just her and Jesus, one-on-one. Because the only thing that's going to put steel in your backbone, and the only thing that's you're going to be able to hold on to when you have that encounter one-on-one with Jesus Christ. Because you know why? Nobody could take that away from you. All the preaching, all the teaching, all the other stuff. I got a bachelor's, I got a master's, I got a doctor of divinity. All that stuff don't matter. Why? Because I know him. I mean, it's nice because I need it because of what I do, the profession of preaching and all that, because it helps me to preach, help me to teach, help me to do everything else. But on all of the backdrop and all that, it was that encounter down there in New Orleans with Jesus Christ. That's what did it for me. That's what transformed my life. That's what made me what I am. And that's what you have to understand. That's the only thing that's going to make it for you. And that's the only way you're going to walk this converted life in Christ. Everything that Paul the Apostle talked about, he talked to the church in Galatia. He says, I've grown with labor pains until Christ is formed in you. And he meant permanently. The church was struggling just like all other churches struggle. Don't think we're the first ones. See, we get cute and think we're the first ones that got problems. No, there's a whole book of people that got problems. Everybody in here had a problem except for Jesus. All right? So they take the air right out of your balloon that I'm the only one. And nobody knows my struggle. Nobody knows what I go through. You're right. Nobody does know if you don't tell them. All right? They won't know. A lot of times people think that we have ESPS preachers. No, we don't. If you don't tell me, I will never know what's going on in your life. And I'm not the sin police, and I will not investigate your life. But if I see something in your life, I will speak to you about it. Okay? If God shows me something in your life, me and you will have a conversation. All right? And it's happened to many people, and they will tell you, yes, he knows. All right? Yes, he knows. But that's what it's all about, church, this converted life. And I want you to start praying. I'm serious about this. I want you to start praying to God, Father, that I want the evidence in my life. And even if you have the evidence, that I want more of the evidence in my life. That when you walk into a place, people can see the evidence of the conversion of your life. That you don't even have to open up your mouth and they know that you're a Christian. Many times people say, you're a Christian, ain't you? And I never even opened up my mouth. I told you the story about that guy who was going to fire everybody. I never, to this day, I don't know how that man knew I was a Christian. But that's the point that we have to get to. That my life is such a representation of Jesus Christ that people could just look at me and know that I'm a Christian. Know that I'm a Christian. No. We stay in the presence of God too much. Oh, somebody lost their pick. We stay in the presence of God too much for there not to be no evidence of Christ in your life. Too much. Too much, too much, too much for there not to be no evidence. There has to be evidence in your life after 7 months. Like I said, seven is the number of completion. You got to have it right by now. Because 8's the number of new beginning. So if you don't get it right, you'll never have the new beginning in God. Because God is not going to promote you, all right, until we get it right. Now, school will promote you. The world will promote you. Business will promote you. Everybody else will promote you. But God is not going to promote you. Like I told you before, you have gifts and callings, all right? That's going to take you to places where your character is not going to sustain you. So before you get up there, God's going to make sure all the little bit of mess that you got in there is out. All right? And there's no trace of it ever coming back. No trace of it ever coming back. Because if you think the enemy's just going to roll over and let you do everything you want to do, you're crazy. All right? He's just going to wrap it in a different package and present it to you a different way. But it's still going to be temptation, and it's still going to be sin. But once your life is converted, you're going to be able to see him. It's going to be exposed before it even got there. All right? Because remember in Job, if you read the book of Job twice, because the devil, if he show up before God, he'll show up in your house. Twice, the book of Job, it said that God called his sons, right? And who showed up? What God said? Satan, what you doing here? Everybody else looking like, what? Right? He said, why? Because the enemy transformed as an angel of light. See, you got to know the devil. You got to know what he looks like. Fellas, she wears Victoria's Secrets. Yeah, yes, she does. The devil wears that too. Oh, yeah. That's right. And sisters, they wear Armani suits. The nice ones. $1,500 ones. But they wolf in sheep's clothing. All right? Don't believe the hype. All right? Everything that's carrying the Bible ain't saved. All right? That's right. Everything carrying the Bible is not saved. But see, when your life is converted, you're going to know. You're going to know Because why? You have the Spirit of God inside of you. And a lot of times bells and whistles are going off, but we just got our foot on the gas, go past every yield sign and every stop sign. But like I said, tonight, let's think about this. Just think about your life on the backdrop of the scripture. Just think, if I was in that, because sometimes you got to put yourself in them scriptures. God, what is it inside of me that keeps me driving after that thing? God, what is it in my life that keeps me missing the mark in this area? God, what is it in my life that keeps me just going after the things that I know that are an offense to you? And pray, give me that living water, dear God. Give me that living water so that my life will be like this woman's. My life will be evident that Jesus Christ lives, reigns, and rules in my life. That's what we need. That's what we need tonight. Let us rise to our feet. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you, O God, that tonight, O God, that we can search ourselves, O God. Lord, I just pray tonight, dear God, that as this word went forth, O God, that, Lord, that it touched somebody's heart, it touched somebody's soul, touched somebody's mind, dear God, in that area of struggle, dear God, that place where, Father, it's just been so hard to get through this thing. Lord, I just pray tonight, dear God, that, Lord, that they would just come to you, O God, that you would give them this living water. God, you are so gracious, dear Father, to each and every one of us, and you will not withhold any good thing from any one of us, oh God. So I pray tonight, dear God, that as we minister, dear God, that you would just release in them, dear God, knowing that we cannot give them the encounter with you, oh God. But Father, you will release something in them, oh God, that will have a hunger and a thirst, oh God, that they will come towards you, oh Lord, in a greater way, in a greater zest, and a greater zeal that they never have before, oh God. Lord, we are here tonight, dear God, humbling ourselves before you, knowing that without you, dear Lord, we could not do nothing. So we ask, oh God, give us the wisdom, give us the courage, oh God. Give us a heart, oh God, to live for you, dear God, that you would bind this church as one, oh God. Father, it is a young church, oh God, ready to take on the task that you have given it, oh God. But we know, oh God, there's some things that we have to take care of, oh God, some things that have to be rectified, oh God, some things that just have to be killed off, dear God. So we come tonight, dear God, once again, dear God, to the cross, oh God, that if there's anything in us, oh God, tonight we're going to kill it, oh God. Tonight we're going to bury it, only to be resurrected, dear God, into a converted life into the Lord Jesus Christ. That our words will be seasoned with grace, O God, that our lives will be evidence and proof, O Lord, that you live inside of us. So we just thank you for this opportunity. And we call it finished and done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So if there's anybody who wants prayer, anybody who wants us to pray for you, come tonight. And, you know, like I said, think about it. This is your life in Christ. This has nothing to do with me. I have already made my decision, like I said, years ago. All right? And the devil have to kill me first before I turn around. Before I turn around, I mean that with all my heart. You know what I mean? I ain't no boasting preacher. I don't do that. But I am totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ in everything I do. And everybody knows it. My family knows it. My kids know it. My friends know it. Everybody knows that I am sold out for Jesus. There is no underlining areas in my life, no unyielded areas in my life that I'm going to let him back into my life. So I just ask you to come, open your hearts tonight, and just let God do what he wants to do. Just let him do what he wants to do in you. First of all, if there's someone in here who, if you have really never given your life to Jesus Christ, you went to church because mama took me to church. Can somebody move this for me? You went to church because mama took you to church. You did whatever you had to do. But if you for yourself have never said yes, Jesus, you've never said yes to the cross of Christ, all right? Because Jesus came for our sin debt, all right? If you've never said yes to the Lord for yourself and it's the first time you want to come and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, come tonight. I ask you to come tonight and make a decision for Jesus Christ. Are you going to do everything right? No, you're not. Are we going to look for you to be perfect? No, we're not. But we're going to look for you to be accountable and responsible, because with freedom comes responsibility. And we are free in Christ, so we have to be